grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So just a few days ago on Thursday, we celebrated the Ascension. Jesus ascended into heaven 40 days after Easter. And so every year, 40 days after Easter, churches and Christians gather together all around the world to celebrate this event, Jesus ascending into heaven. And Luke gives us this account in his second work, the Acts of the Apostles. He gives us this insider's view of what the disciples saw and heard that day as Jesus ascended into heaven. Jesus spoke to them some final words, gave them kind of their parting mission to go and take this good news to all people. And they saw him ascend into heaven. And after he was obscured by a cloud and after he'd been taken away, the disciples stood there for a while, gazing up at heaven. An angel appeared, basically to send them on your way, telling them, what are you waiting for? He's going to return in the same way that you saw him leave. In our reading for today from Revelation, see, the disciples were told that day that Jesus was going to be coming again. And there's one thing that gets repeated three times in this last chapter, the last book of the Bible. Jesus says to John, to tell all of us, I am coming soon. I am coming soon. I am coming soon. Three times, Jesus repeats this message to you and to I. He is coming soon. But there's one thing that's true. It's that after 2,000 years, Jesus' idea of soon and yours and mine are probably two very different things. And if you've ever been caught wondering, as you've read these passages where Jesus says, I am coming soon, and have you ever been caught wondering about that, wondering, what is Jesus waiting for? Why is it taking God so long to come again? Well, if you've ever wondered that, you're in good company. You're not alone. Christians have been wondering that ever since Jesus first ascended into heaven. Peter himself, he addressed this issue, those first century Christians, that first generation of believers, they wondered about this. They knew Jesus had told them he was coming soon, and they wondered, what's taking so long? In Peter's second letter, a letter he wrote probably 40 or 50 years after Jesus first ascended into heaven, that was the question on those Christians' mind. How much longer do we have to wait? You say you're coming soon, but when is that? Peter said to them, he says to you and I, the Lord isn't slow in keeping his promises as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we have been given some incredible promises from God. Promises about this life here and what this forgiveness of sins Jesus has given us means here and now. You know, reconciliation with one another, restoration. Another chance. We've also been given some incredible promises about what life in eternity with God will be like. And what that means is that for us now, as we wait for Jesus to come again, we live with this tension between what God has promised us in Jesus will be our future and the reality of our lives now, which so often falls short of that. The best way I could think to capture this tension that we live in between God's promises that will be given to us one day and the reality of the lives we have now is with a story. You can think of it going something like this. The kingdom, the coming kingdom of heaven. It's like the promises of a father to his young daughter. So there was a father who had told his daughter many times about one of his favorite places, high tide on this beach that he had grown up nearby. He had described this place to her many times. He told her about the forest that surrounded this little bay. He told her about the beach with the white sand and the shells and the stones for skipping. He told her about the little floating dock that was in the middle of the bay. He told her about all the different kinds of fish and animals and birds that lived in this place. All her life, Mara had heard of this place from her father, and she longed to see it. Every time he told her about this place, she could imagine herself sitting on the edge of the dock, her feet dangling in the water as the fish swam around. She longed longed to see this place that her father had told her about so many times. And finally, the day came where her dad loaded her up in the car, strapped her into her booster seat, and told Mara that they were going to his favorite place to see high tide on this beach. So they went, and as they pulled into the parking lot, Mara was almost literally bouncing up and down on her booster seat. She couldn't wait, and she looked, and at the end of the parking lot, there was a line of trees, and in the middle of that line of trees, there was a little dirt trail that kind of wound off into the distance. And she pointed to the trail, and she said to her dad, "Is that the place? Is it down there?" He said, "Yeah, Mara, it's down there." And so as he opened the door, she hopped out of the car and she took off down the trail before he could stop her. By the time he caught up to her, she had gotten to the end of the trail where the forest ended and the beach began. As he walked up to her, he put his arm around her. Mara looked up at her dad and said, "Daddy, what's wrong with it?" He said, "Well, what do you mean, Mara?" She says, "Well, the beach is up here, the shells and the skipping stones, but the water's way down there." He said, "Oh, don't worry about that. It's the tide's out. We just got to wait a little bit. The tide will come back in. Everything will be just as I promised." And hearing those words, the sparkle came back in her eye. She had known that her father had never lied to her before. So her dad said, "Well, why don't we go explore the woods first?" So back up the trail she went, and down a side trail they hiked for quite some distance, up and down hills. And as they walked, they were in this forest, just almost every shade of green imaginable. As they walked, her dad pointed out the different kinds of trees, the animals that they saw run across the path, the birds that flew from tree to tree. Her dad taught her how to hunt for salamanders, pointed out the bugs that they saw underneath the rocks as they were searching. But it wasn't the beach that Mara had wanted to see. And there were a lot of hills, the trail was muddy in places, and at one point Mara had seen a flower a little ways off the trail, and she had ran to go and look at it, and her leg had brushed against some nettles, and now her legs were itching horribly. Her father could see that she was growing tired, and so he walked up to her and said, "Mara, would you like to go back to the beach and wait?" She said, "Yes," and so they made their way back to the beach. When they arrived, Mara looked, excitement once again, but it didn't look like the water had come up very much. She looked at her father and said, "We've got to wait just a little longer," he said. So she found a log, a piece of driftwood, and she sat down and she began her wait. What was for her the longest wait of her life was probably a whole 5 minutes. She sat on one side of the log, and then she moved to the other, and then she kind of draped herself over the log, and finally she looked up at her father and said, "How much longer do we have to wait?" He said, "Don't worry, the tide will come in. Everything will be just as I promised. We just have to wait a little longer." So Mara sighed. She began pushing the sand into little piles. She sighed again, and she looked down towards the water's edge, and she said to her dad, "Why does that sand look different?" He said, "Well, it's not sand, it's mud and seaweed. When the water comes up, that'll all be covered. Provides food for all the creatures here along the beach." She looked up at her dad and she said, "Well, can I go see it?" He said, "Well, yeah, you can go and see it, but don't get too close, because if you do, you'll get muddy. Your feet might get stuck." And she called over her shoulder as she made her way down to the water's edge, "No, they won't." But after just a few steps into the place where the beach stopped and the mud began, sure enough, not only was she muddy, but her feet had gotten stuck. And as she pulled one foot out, the mud sucked the shoe right off. And so her father came down, he picked her up, pulled her shoe out, took her back to the place on the beach where they were waiting, and began to clean her up. And as he was cleaning her up, she said to her father, "Dad, this isn't anything like you promised." You didn't say anything about the hills. You didn't say anything about the mud and the seaweed. The dock isn't even floating. You didn't tell me about the nettles. This isn't any fun at all. It will be, dear, he promised. Just wait. So she waited and another 5 minutes, and then she turned to her dad once more and said, "When, Daddy? This is boring. Can we go home?" Well, that back and forth between Mara and her father continued for quite some time. Mara always questioning, always doubting, even despairing as much as a little girl can despair. Finally, worn out from the morning's activities and the wait, she turned to her dad and said, I'm getting sleepy. He smiled and said, I thought you might. I brought a picnic blanket. I lay it out for you. You can take a nap and rest, and I'll wake you when it's time. So she said, okay, and she laid down, and as she closed her eyes, a tear trickled down her cheek. It had been a hard morning for her. For years, she'd heard of this place, this high tide on this beach. She'd had in her mind's eye an image of what this place would be. She remembered all the excitement that her dad had shown as he told her about this place, and this had been nothing like she had imagined. She drifted off to sleep. She thought again how difficult this day had been for her. While she slept, her dad kept watch, made sure she stayed in his shadow to protect her from the noonday sun. And a very long time passed. Whole 3 hours, an eternity to one as little as Mara. Finally, the time had come, and Dad woke her. "Mara Joy," he called. "Mara Joy, wake up, it's time." She heard his voice before she opened her eyes. "Mara Joy." Dad only ever used her full name when it was something really important. Her eyes popped open. She sat up, refreshed from her nap. She looked around. All of those things that had been disappointments for her before were gone. The mud, the seaweed, the smell, even the stinging nettles were gone. She looked and she saw everything that she had imagined as her father had told her about high tide on the beach. The white sands, the shells, the stones for skipping, the blue sky, the even bluer water. The dock floating off of the pier. All of it was just as she imagined. And her dad said to her, "This, Mara Joy, is high tide. This is what I promised. Let's go explore." Jesus often taught in parables and stories to get across concepts that just you couldn't do justice. Just kind of explaining in a more straightforward way. The little girl's name, Mara. Anybody know what Mara means in Hebrew? You get bonus points. Kim? Not Mary. Close. Anyone? It's from the book of Ruth. Mara means bitter in Hebrew. See, Naomi, her name means pleasant. And after the death of her husband and her two sons, when she arrived back in her hometown and she told her story to the townspeople, they called her Naomi. And she says, "Don't call me Naomi," which means pleasant. "Call me Mara," which means bitter, because her life had become bitter to her. In the story, in the moment that that promise was realized, high tide had come. The father called his daughter to wake her. "Mara, joy." In that moment, Mara's bitterness had turned to joy. So you and I are like the daughter in this story. God has made some incredible promises to us. And we hear about these promises when we gather together on Sunday. We hear about these promises when we read his word, when we talk to one another as Christians. The promises that God has in store for us for eternity. We hear these promises. And yet so often, life happens to us. The bitterness of life sets in. We lose people we love. we fall down, get muddy. Through it all, God, like the Father in the story, stands ready, pick you up, clean you off, to sit by you while you wait. And if you sleep before the tide comes in, God, like the Father, promises to wake you. And in that moment, as he calls your name and your eyes pop open and you wake up refreshed, in that moment, all of your bitterness, all of your tears, all of your sadness will be turned to joy. And so we pray as Christians have done over the last 2,000 years, every day, every hour, every moment, come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.